I'd like to open the Senate Education Committee. Good afternoon, everyone. We are going to start off today with SB 4. Then we're going to go to SB 18, SB 22, SB 25, SB 27, SB 290, and SB 959. I'd like to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 4. Summary, please.
Yes.
Administrator Lindholm.
Senate Bill 4 directs school districts to ensure that physical education or recess time is available each school day. It encourages partnerships with parks and recreation districts, child care facilities, and other community organizations. Directs Department of Education to establish annual lists that recognize efforts of schools and school districts that implement exemplary policies related to physical education and nutrition. Declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2011.
And joining us today to present testimony on that is Senator Courtney.
Chief Shields, Senator Frank Morris. My name is Peter Courtney, and I'm a State Senator District 11, which is basically reached reports to Salem and Jervis and Woodson. I'm here today to support Senate Bill 4, which is another one of my, shall we say, PE efforts, physical education efforts in school. We know that a significant number of our children are overweight or obese, and you can see the testimony there. I'm not going to read everything I put in there, but I don't just say that. I identify my sources. We know that 25.8 million people have diabetes, and it is predicted that we could see 79 million people there right now that are pre-diabetic, and disease control and prevention centers reports 80% of overweight kids are aged 10 to 15, and they will be obese adults by age 25. And so we've all been inundated with those kinds of figures. They go on and on and on. And even I am in a local area, Marion County, trying to do something as a special way, special diabetes effort to deal with the problem regarding our school children, because diabetes is a horrible disease. I'm not diabetic, but I have some individuals around my family who are. And you just don't ever want to get that. It's just not something you ever want. In 2007, we passed a piece of legislation, Senate House Bill 3141. This bill had bipartisan support, and it's set us on a path to really require enhanced physical education in 2017. To be frank with you, our schools pretty much were walking away from PE. Budgetary reasons, and I'm not so sure there were some other reasons. And so we decided we would try to reverse that and bring PE back in terms of our schools, both in terms of instruction, nutrition, as well as exercise. And so we're back today trying to create another piece of the pie, or exactly trying to enhance what we did before, because we want to require access to PE or recess every day that a student is in school, kindergarten through eighth grade. The big change there is even recess. And so we're attempting to do that. We're also attempting to encourage partnerships with community organizations and parks and recs to get kids moving outside of school, and then we create a list within the Department of Education to recognize exemplary schools for physical education activity. I could go on and on about other things that they're in my testimony. Ironically, tomorrow I'm going to help dedicate a major health and wellness building at Western Oregon University, the $32 million building. And I'm going to speak extensively to the healthy body, healthy mind belief that I feel very strongly about. I'm not going to get cute and quote to you the Latin versions of that, which apparently they're now going to put on the wall at Western Oregon University. I broke ground for that facility about 18 months ago, and I remember talking about how the nuns and everybody used to talk to me about healthy mind, healthy body, healthy body, healthy mind, and I had no idea what all that meant. Today I have a much better understanding, because we do know that children that exercise and have some PE in their life or physical activity, they're much better in terms of their class attendance. We do know that. And even the dropout rate is affected. So it's a very serious issue, and it should not be looked upon as a bonus. It should be looked upon as an outright requirement. Every school is going to do it, and we're going to do it as much as we can do it. And I think, I'm not going to spend a lot of time taking your valuable time. I think I am discouraged today because I am aware that there are going to be some groups come in against this bill. And they're going to have their reasons, and I'm used to that. I think it's just another example, if I may say so, of what the only thing wrong with kids are adults. Because everybody in the room and everybody who'd ever listened about this or think about this wants to do something about it. They're worried about obesity and everything. But the truth is, the adults are fighting over territory or their version, and so the kids, they still continue to eat poorly, or they get heavier, still threatened with diabetes, because apparently one of the objections is that recess should not be considered PE. How do I feel about that? Well, I'll be very frank. I want kids moving. I want them moving any way we can get them moving. So I am not going to split hairs over that. I happen to love recess when I was a kid. I loved that more than anything else. Couldn't wait to get out and do my recess. But then someone says, well, but Peter, you could come right, just go out and stand around. Well, all right, what am I going to say about that? So there's that struggle going on. And then there's a struggle going on about, because there's going to be some financial impact of this. It's not a lot right now. So it's another mandate. Okay, there's a mandate. There's that. And it just really discourages me, because everybody knows what's happened to the young people in our lives. They just know it. They know about it. And the thing I learned about diabetes, you got to get to adults before you can get to the kids. So if the adults were supposed to be doing what they're doing, their parents, the kids wouldn't be in the problem. Trouble is, this bill doesn't quite get to adults, but in a way it does. If they come to school and visit their teachers and things, the part of that parent-teacher thing will be that, you know, we need help here. I think schools reach out to the parents and say, we need PE. You got to help us with this in any way you can. So it is a health issue, but it's also a mental issue, and it's a peace of mind issue. Because part of the PE instructions in classes, which we put in the prior legislation in 2007, is there's got to be PE in classes where they learn good eating habits and lifestyles and rest and the importance of these things. So I've departed dramatically from my written testimony. I often do that because I don't believe in just reading from a document that you have before you when you're speaking to a group. You should speak, at least look at them and act like you really are looking at them and trying to establish some kind of visual contact with them. And, you know, so you have my written statement. You have at me. You can have at me any way you want. I understand this is a public hearing. It's supposed to go to Ways and Means. Is that correct? Pretty much, because it has that kind of financial impact. But it'd be nice to see what you do with it, whether you think it should go to Ways and Means, and if it does, if you think it should, if it should be prioritized, or you want to make it even a better bill than it is. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Senate President. Any questions or comments, Senator Bartolomeo?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was hoping that the President would actually speak the Latin that he has in his written testimony. But.
Well, you know, if I had spoken it, then you'd said, I'm showing off. You know, I'm just trying to bring all
that
the attention on myself. And because I'm going to speak it tomorrow, because I spoke it once out there and I blew everybody away. Mens sane incorpore sana. And that is exactly right, because they made sure it was going to be right in case somebody here would try to embarrass me. So there, take it right there. There it is, Ben Sane. Incorpore sana. A healthy mind and a healthy body. There it is.
Thank you, Mr.
What I hear from that?
Excuse me?
What I hear from that is you take a sauna after you exercise. That's what I need questions.
No, that. Do you even know? May I ask you a question, Chair? Did you take Latin at any time when you were K through 12?
No.
We were required to take Latin. My mother majored in Latin at Bryn Mawr, graduated honors of college.
Oh.
When
when I was an altar boy, the prayers had to be in Latin. You're not messing with somebody that doesn't know what he's doing.
Senator Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. President, I know some Latin.
Oh, and you don't tell me I did a good job.
You did a great job. But I want to tell you something in Latin, and you'll have to figure it out and tell me what it means.
This looks bad. This looks very bad.
Semper ubi sub ubi.
Make sure you get the ubi. You got that? That's very good. So you know some Latin, huh? Do you know what it means, or you just
names don't match?
You know, Latin's hard. You know that?
It is.
It's very hard. Mr. Chair, can I leave now? Do you want to stay?
I think we're exhausted this whole Latin thing here.
Thank you,
Senator Courtney. We have Mary Lou Henrich and Stephanie Tamasweet come up at the same time.
Mr. Chair, I feel comfortable moving this bill to Ways and Means if the President comes back and tells us what that means.
Thank you, Chair Hash, members of the committee. My name is Mary Lou Henrich, and I am the director of the Oregon Public Health Institute, and I'm here today as a proud member of a broad coalition of health, business, education, parents, and sports organizations to speak on behalf of the importance of physical education for Oregon students. And you can see our logos, pretty impressive group of folks that come together around the issue of how to get our kids more physically active and have physical education really happening in our schools. So we are very pleased to have one of our strongest advocates be Senator Courtney. He has continued to beat this drum over the last many years. And Dr. Minot Cleveland, who couldn't be here today, has worked with the Heart Association and with the Coalition over the last 10 years to get us where we are. So we're very pleased and thankful that this body in 2007 did pass House Bill 3141 that does require a minimum number of PE minutes to be taught to all Oregon students in grades K to 8. That's 150 minutes a week, so that's like 30 minutes a day, or it can be 60 minutes three times a week, that kind of thing, or 225 per week for grades 6 to 8. When this bill passed in 2007, no one in this state even knew how many minutes PE was being taught in our schools because nobody collected the information. And the House Bill 31 addressed the issue. So the law now requires that all schools report this to the Department of Ed, and they have put out two reports which show that we have a long way to go. We, in the first report, which came out for the school year 08-09, showed that we were about 50% of meeting that minute standard. And the law specifies 2017. It was a 10-year time frame to get us there. So the latest report that just came out on school year 9-10 showed that we kind of held about the same for the K-5 grades, but we actually slipped back on middle schools. Not a lot, but some. So we've got a long way to go. So you are only too well aware, you listen to it every day, about our school districts faced with untenable choices as they attempt to serve Oregon students during these bleak economic times. They continue to struggle to provide a quality education to increasingly diverse and in-need population of students with decreasing funding and resources. So some districts have made the decision to cut back on physical education classes, and many have also shortened or eliminated recess, as President Courtney talked about today. At the same time these decisions are being made in local schools, we read daily about the childhood obesity epidemic, resulting in previously unheard numbers of children and young adults acquiring chronic, costly diseases like type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and heart disease. And experts predict that children who were born in the year 2000 will have a shorter lifespan than their parents for the first time in U.S. history. That is an appalling thought to me and many others. Oregon taxpayers also are currently spending more than $780 million a year on health care costs related to obesity, and this staggering number is several years old, and the number continues to increase. Business and labor are cobbled by the annual double-digit increases in health care costs and insurance premiums, as you know. Colonel Michael Dunn of the Oregon National Guard came to a hearing we had last week in the House Health Care Committee to talk about childhood obesity, and he testified that a large percentage of volunteer military recruits are ineligible to serve in our country's defense because they are overweight and physically unfit. They are being turned away at a time when our voluntary armed forces are having difficulty meeting the recruitment goals needed to meet the country's defense needs because they can't meet the physical fitness and weight standards. So there's a whole host of reasons why we need to get our children active and have quality physical education as a core curricular subject. So Senator Courtney has once again shown his leadership by putting forth Senate Bill 4 in an attempt to keep schools moving forward in their efforts to ultimately realize the PE minute standards by the 2017 deadline. Senate Bill 4 attempts to keep students as physically active as possible during these difficult economic times, requiring schools to have physical activity every day in PE or recess. While the PEAK Coalition is supportive of this increased physical activity that can include recess, we know that Senator Courtney and you do understand that the core curricular subject of PE and recess are not interchangeable. Senate Bill 4 is in no way intended to back away from or dilute the strong PE minute standards that are in current Oregon law as established in 3141, and we at the PEAK Coalition stand ready to continue our work with you and local school districts to assure that we move forward from our collective place of offering on average only 50% of the required minutes in Oregon elementary and middle schools. In addition, the longstanding evidence that increased physical activity is an important factor in maintaining healthy weight, preventing these many costly chronic and debilitating diseases, there is mounting research that links academic performance, improved performance, to quality physical education. Healthy kids do learn better. And health begins long before illness, where we live, learn, work, and play. Section 11 of Senate Bill 4 encourages school districts to enter into partnerships with parks and recreation districts, child care facilities, and other community organizations to provide opportunities for children to be physically active and take advantage of resources available. While this may not need to be in statute to recommend this to districts, they could do this if they wanted to, I think it does say that we think it's important, and we really do. We must, if we're going to really confront these issues, have a collaborative approach. So the PEAK Coalition will continue to work with you, as well as our education leaders at the state and local district levels, to make meaningful steps forward, despite the tough economic realities, to assure that PE continues as a core curricular subject, not an educational enhancement. And the minimum standards that are current Oregon law are fully implemented by 2017. One thing that I don't have in my testimony, but I would like to just say, is that if there is a way that we can figure out how to bring us all to the table, I'm not a great fan of task forces, but sometimes a legislative task force that brings the educators, the health advocates, the parents, the sports people together to really talk about a plan for how are we going to get to this minute standard in 2017. We've got a long ways to go. It's not simple. The local districts, the state, where's the funding, mandates, all those words swirl around. And so I have been kind of floating, talking to some people about would it be helpful to have a way where we come together with some legislative representatives too, and maybe we could think about that for February or beyond to think whether that might happen. So thank you very much for listening, and if there's anything, questions I can answer, anything I can do, we stand ready.
Thank you very much, Chair Haas, members of the committee. My name is Stephanie Thomas-Sweet, and I'm the Director of Government Relations for the American Heart Association in Oregon. And I submitted some information for you, just background from our national office about physical education. Our mission statement as an organization is to build healthier lives free of cardiovascular disease and stroke. In the last 10 years, so we had a strategic plan, a 10-year strategic plan. Our 2010 strategic plan was to reduce reduce deaths by cardiovascular disease and stroke by 20%. We did, in fact, meet that goal, and we did 2 years early. Largely, we did so because of major technological advances and medical advances. However, in looking at science and the health of Americans, we've actually gone backwards in the health of Americans, and that's obviously very concerning to us. And so in crafting our 2020 strategic plan, we actually made a really strategic effort to focus on prevention, and particularly prevention around obesity. So we have a goal at our national office and also here locally in Oregon of improving the health of all Americans and Oregonians as well by 20% from where they are today, to improve their health by 20% by 2020. And as such, investing in programs like physical education for kids is absolutely critical to maintaining the health of all people in our communities. And some information, we are getting more science out as well. We've spent a lot of time in the last several years as an organization fighting tobacco. That is still the number one killer of all Americans. But obesity is quickly rising and about to surpass that number. And we're especially concerned about, obviously, obesity for children. And so we were very involved in 2007 with the passage of 3141, the bill that you've already heard about today. We're very active with the PEAK Coalition and committed to making sure that we reach those standards in 2017 that this legislative body set out, and recognize all the concerns that you've heard about funding, and I'm sure I know you are well aware of those concerns, but we're committed to working with you and to a broad coalition to make sure that we can reach those minute requirements to help make sure that we're taking care of our kids and taking care of our future, both for the health of kids and also for the economy, for taking care of our community members. So we urge your support of passing bills and these minute requirements. We are supportive of Senate Bill 4 with some of the concerns that Mary Lou had already addressed, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions on this bill through our panel?
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonamici.
I think either of you might be able to answer this. Do you know if there are additional federal funds available for physical education now that it is a priority of, I know, the First Lady and the White House, and there's a lot of emphasis on, I think there's a Keeping Kids Moving program.
Let's move. Okay.
Let's move. Right.
Well, I can talk to Terhas and Senator Bonamici. I think there's two bills, but we are working at the federal level on the Fit Kids Act, which is part of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, that would have support for physical education, particularly for coordinators in the local schools. I'm actually going to be going to D.C. next week to talk with our federal delegation about that. There's clearly budget concerns across the board that we're facing, and so we know that that's going to be a difficult uphill battle, but we are working for that. And
thank you. I hope they're in session when you get there next week.
I know we're told that there's good likelihood that they will not be there, so we'll leave our compelling notes behind.
And I'm Senator Bonamici and Senator Haz. I think that everybody is looking for money to come from somewhere, and I think the sad thing really is, I don't think there's any big money being earmarked at the federal level. There's a lot of talk, there's a lot of collaborative work, there's like everybody, we're going to get together, but you know, kind of what the old, where's the beef, where's the money? It's sorely lacking at all levels.
Thank you.
For those, Stephanie, thank you.
Thank you.
I have Elise Brown, Ellen Stevenson, and Rose Cox.
Thank you, Chair Haas, Vice Chair Morse, and members of the committee. My name is Ellen Stevenson, and I'm a pediatrician and professor of public health at Oregon and Health and Science University. I have three children in elementary school, so I'm very passionate about this issue, and urge you to support Senate Bill 4. Testifying not only on behalf of OHSU, but also the Oregon Pediatric Society and the Oregon Medical Association. As we've all heard, there are many benefits of daily physical activity and numerous studies that demonstrate exercise improves learning as well as the physical and emotional well-being of children. School-based activity leads to increased attention span, concentration, and improved behavior. Exercise also decreases stress, anxiety, and depression. And in fact, studies have shown that prescriptions for exercise can be effective as medication for many of these disorders. As we've all heard, physical activity is critical in school now more than ever with the epidemic of obesity. As you may be aware, nearly 1 in 4 children in Oregon is overweight or obese, and the rates are as high as 1 in 3 children in low-income families. Much of the childhood obesity problem relates to the fact that children are not as active as they used to be. In fact, 40% of Oregon children do not get physical activity most days. In addition, learning the variety of physical activities in a school-based setting is our best chance of creating habits in children that have a crucial role in preventing the lifelong disorders that we've heard about. As you all also have heard, childhood obesity is now considered one of the most serious and costly public health problems and leads to a variety of short and long-term problems, issues with self-esteem, depression, anxiety, and the long-term effects like diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart disease. And I think as someone else also mentioned, Oregon spends over $750 million every few years on preventable obesity-related health problems. If we don't spend money now on prevention, we'll need to spend significantly more in the future. I see inactive and overweight children every day in my pediatric practice. I ask them what activities they have, opportunities to exercise out of school. Unfortunately, for many of them, they don't have much opportunity. If we don't provide activities at school, they won't have any chance. We need to give them these opportunities, as schools are the only institutions which have continuous and structured contact with nearly all of our children. Schools have the opportunity to reach low-income children who have even fewer opportunities for physical activity. So by providing children with the opportunity to get regular physical activity at school, as we've heard, we can not only improve academic performance, but also prevent serious health problems that stem from inactivity and obesity. It's our responsibility to give children the tools they need to lead healthy lifestyles. For these reasons, I'm asking you to support Senate Bill 4, which would be an excellent step forward in preventing our statewide obesity problem. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Elise Brown here this afternoon representing American Diabetes Association, Oregon chapter. We are also a member of the PEAK Coalition, and I ditto what Mary Lou and others have said here to support the bill generally, but share the same concerns. What I've provided with for you that you're just looking at now is a strategic plan that was developed in 2007. House Bill 3486 declared an emergency related to diabetes and obesity. It directed DHS to develop a strategic plan to slow the rate of diabetes caused by obesity. So I hope you get a chance to look through there, and I'll refer to a couple things. First of all, right on the inside page are more startling facts about the increased rate of those with type 2 diabetes in Oregon. The number continues to rise, and today it's 262,000 in the state that have it, which costs us, in treatment, $1.4 billion annually. That's startling to me. House Bill 3486 set out some legislative priorities. The report is a 6-year report, and for the next 3 biennia, one of the major things that we request from the legislative body is to continue to support funding for PE. So I wanted to make sure I was here on the record to say that on behalf of my client today, and we're happy to be part of this discussion going forward. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair Hass and committee. Thank you. My name is Rose Cox, and I'm here on behalf of the Coalition for a Healthy Oregon, or COHO, which is an organization of MCOs in the state. They have asked me to come before you today and record their support of this bill for the record as well. The other presenters have touched on the importance of this bill, and I'd like to frame it in a slightly larger framework of what's going on with health transformation right now. COHO believes that this is going to be a vital part of health outcomes going forward for children, and it lets the schools get a little skin in the game. If we're truly looking at community ways of coming together of everyone playing nice and really using all the resources that we have at our disposal to have better health outcomes in this state across the board, this seems like it's an important piece to that would mesh very well with that. So I know that's a little bit broader of an input, but like I said, COHO asked me to come and lodge that. Again, it's no silver bullet, but it's a great part of the bigger solution. And Senator Shields, I'm a bit of a Latin scholar myself, and to you I would say presto, which I'm pretty sure translates to I do. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess I do have a question, Dr. Stevenson, is what's more important in turning around these rates of obesity, diet or exercise?
That's an excellent question. I don't know if I can give you a number. You can see, I'm reviewing, I don't see any specific studies that say, I think they're both important. I've seen numbers quoted that 80% of obesity has something to do with diet and heredity, and the other is environmental. I don't know how accurate that number is, but certainly both are important, and I think the movement for improved nutrition and all the things that are happening on those levels are also very important. I'm happy to, if there are any specific resources that we can find, I'm happy to send you some.
Questions? All right. Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify in SB 4? See none, then we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 4. I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 18. And we have the Treasurer's Office nearby.
I'll read a summary while they get him. Senate Bill 18, as part of Measure 68, General Bond Obligation Implementation, establishes statutory provisions required for the Superintendent of Public Instruction to borrow money for the capital cost of school districts. There is a Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 18, and in the Dash 1, it replaces the Department of Administrative Services with Oregon Department of Education. It amends Section 8, and I'm sure the Treasurer's Office will get into the specifics. And it's such things as defining qualified zone academic bonds as they are defined in the Internal Revenue Code.
Thank you. Welcome to the Treasurer's Office, Education Department.
Thank you.
Council. If you could give us your take on this, remind us why we referred this, and the point, and where we are now.
Chair House, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Michael Salvaggio from the Office of the State Treasurer. It's a fairly simple bill. It is as simple as they get. Oregon voters passed Measure 68 in the May 2010 primary election. The measure allowed for the prospective issuance at the direction of the legislature of state-backed general obligation bonds to match K-12 district capital costs. The Treasury is recommending the Dash 1 amendments be put onto the bill. The effect of the Dash 1 amendments is twofold, and I'll just give you the meat and potatoes of that. It provides the statutory framework for implementing Measure 68's 11T bonds. We've made a few technical and housekeeping changes from the original text of the bill. And the second thing it does is broaden the definition of qualified revenue bond to allow school districts to pool their qualified zone academy bonds to borrow at a lower cost. That's something that's already done for qualified school construction bonds, and we're widening the definition there to allow for more federal programs to be used in that way. I would like to point out very briefly that our bond council notified us of a slight omission this morning in the Dash 1 amendments. If you have the Dash 1 amendments in front of you, line 20 on page 1 needs to come out. We took out the sunset clause of Senate Bill 988 from the 2010 session, but there was essentially a functional sunset clause within the text of the measure that was neglected to to come out. So we do regrettably need to make another adjustment to this bill.
Are you here for technical support?
Brian Reeder from Department of Ed, here to answer questions and also to express the department's support for the bill.
Okay. How about this, and everyday language, can you tell us what the state will be able to do next year versus last year?
Certainly. Chair, ask members of the committee. What the bill will do is allow the legislature to authorize bonds in whatever amount it deems appropriate to match capital costs of local school districts that have been approved by the voters of those districts on a one-to-one basis. And
for example, Beaverton passes a $10 million bond.
And the state can come in as it sees fit for $10 million. The Department of Education will manage that program. Treasury will sell the bonds, and it will be treated just like any other general obligation bond. That will, of course, be the discretion of the legislature, ultimately.
Right. Are there new requirements on school districts for those kinds of bonds, and do they have to fit in? I assume there's a set criteria in order to qualify.
Let's see. Chair, ask members of the committee, I believe that the requirements are simply to finance capital costs, land and other assets associated with acquisition, construction, improvement, remodeling, maintenance, and repair. And explicitly does not include operating costs.
Explicitly does not get into classrooms.
The building of classrooms would be allowed. The operating costs associated with the classrooms would not.
So coming back. Questions? Senator Morris?
I guess my questions probably will be answered in Ways and Means. That is, what kind of increased staffing level is required within ODE, and is it duplicative of the resources that would be available in DAS, since this is not going through DAS?
Well, we do have a fiscal light on this.
Doesn't this have a subsequent?
It does go to Ways and Means, yes. Mm-hmm. So the question... Okay. Any other questions, Chairman George?
When the first measure went across our desk 2 years ago, I voted no, simply because of the fact that I have a growing concern about the state's debt load. So, what kind of cumulative effect on the state's obligation and our credit rating do you see happening with this? And then I really didn't understand the idea of the school districts combining certain things. And if you could explain that too, that'd be great.
Certainly. Chair Hess, Senator George, I'll take those questions one by one, obviously. The first one was effect on the credit rating. We don't anticipate any detrimental effects since the Debt Policy Advisory Commission would, as usual, recommend a debt limit for the state's general obligation bonds. The legislature would simply have to, my apologies, it wouldn't have to do anything, but it would likely take have to prioritize which projects, which types of bonds would be issued in a particular session, and which wouldn't. For example, we have Articles 11A through 11P. I don't think that they've ever all been authorized at the same time. If more 11Ps were issued, then less 11Js might be issued. But it would not necessarily increase the amount of debt being issued, and hopefully not over any prudent limits that were established. But again, that's
not done by us. That's done by the department. I mean, by the Treasurer's Office.
The Treasurer's Office is part of the Debt Policy Commission that recommends limits, and it's ultimately the discretion of the legislature whether to bond below, up to, or above those limits.
Okay.
As for the second part of that question, small school districts that are looking to issue, and I believe that my DOJ attorney here will slap me if I'm wrong on this, But small districts looking to issue qualified school construction bonds, or if this passes, qualified zone academy bonds, generally pool those obligations together, or if the bill passes, can pull the obligations together and make those debt service payments through the Department of Education as one entity. That lowers everyone's borrowing costs. They can pool those costs now, but they cannot do an automatic intercept with the Department of Education. And I'm sure Cynthia could describe in more detail what the benefits of that are. Can you?
Chair Haas, members of the committee, my name is Cynthia Burns. I'm with the Attorney General's Office, and I represent the Office of the State Treasurer in its bond sales. Right now, what school districts can do, small school districts can go together and issue one set of bonds that are payable and administered through one trust agreement and one paying agent sort of type thing. It facilitates the credit of those bonds if there's a mechanism for money that's payable from the state to the school districts to go straight to the paying agent for the bonds. And so what this bill does is continue that authority that was established in 2010 to have a state intercept where the school districts and the Department of Education enter into a contractual arrangement under which the state agrees to send a part of the school money that would otherwise go to the school district to the paying agent for the bonds. And the underwriters like that because it's an assured source of revenue that's going to go to pay their bonds.
Just aside from this bill and one of those crazy work hit by a truck questions, on this match bond, if the school district runs into financial trouble, does the state make up their portion, or is it just on the hook for the match, or how does that work?
Senator Haas, members of the committee, under the provisions of the bill, the school district's obligation is still the school district's obligation, and the state would be on the hook, so to speak, only for its own obligation, or only for its own half.
Well, we won't go into work session then. We'll wait for a new amendment and take it up next week. Send it to Ways and Means. Okay, thank you. Close the hearing on Senate Bill 18. Open up a hearing on Senate Bill 22. Linda?
Senate Bill 22 allows educational programs under the Youth Corrections Education Program and Juvenile Detention Education Program to participate in specific programs and activities under the Oregon Educational Act for the 21st Century, declares an emergency.
Okay. Cindy Hunt and Autumn Wilbur.
Chair Haas, members of the committee, for the record, Autumn Wilburn, Department of Education. Thanks for having me in front of you today to talk about this bill. We were here a few weeks ago and spoke to you about JDEP and YSEP in general, but just for a brief refresher, JDEP programs, juvenile detention education programs, are those that are focused on youth that are detained for a crime and awaiting a determination of where they will be placed. And then YSEP, Youth Corrections Education Programs, are those programs for youth that have already been incarcerated for a period of time. So during the interim, the department was reviewing the ORS chapters that apply to us and discovered a problem in our mind, which is that YSEP and JDEP programs do not qualify for some of the benefits that school districts do qualify for. And so this is why this bill is in front of you this session. This bill would allow YSEP and JDEP programs to participate in such things as administering assessments, the Oregon Teacher Corps, and the Oregon Mentorship Program. This would also allow YSEP programs to award diplomas to their students when they attain that level of achievement. So in our view, this bill would help to encourage the best and brightest teachers to consider teaching at YSEP and JDEP facilities, and would also add incentive for students to attain their diploma while they are incarcerated, and hopefully encourage them to move further in their education once they re-enter the adult world. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions?
Senator Shields?
No, thanks.
Correction.
I can speak some Latin now if you want.
We're done with Latin for the day.
Thank you.
Well, it seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? All right. We did have this up 2 weeks ago. I'm going to close a public hearing on Senate Bill 22 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 22. Senator Morris.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 22 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 22 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 22 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Shields, would you like to carry this bill?
I'd be glad to.
Agricola. All right, close work session on Senate Bill 22 and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 25.
I'll be the same folks. A summary of Senate Bill 25. It allows children 0 years of age or older who are not kindergarten children to be eligible for Oregon pre-kindergarten program, declares emergency.
We have some people to speak on this, and before we get there, we had a public hearing on this a week or two ago. It took time off to let it breathe for a while. There were some issues raised about what this meant, and essentially, and people could speak to this, I guess, if we need them to, that for all intents and purposes, much of this is already being done in practice, and this just catches up to what's being done. And if you'd like to hear from some people for further explanation, we can do that. We're in a public hearing. If not, we'll just go to a work session and pass it. Okay, so I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 25 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 25.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 25 with a due pass recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee by prior reference.
Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 25 with a due pass recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee by prior reference. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator George?
Everybody was really kind and came and talked to me about my concerns with the bill. I understand that it's currently going on. I'm not sure I still agree with the policy. So I appreciate it's moving forward, but I'll be a no vote on this.
Okay. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Bonamici?
Aye.
Senator George?
Nope.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Morris?
Aye.
Chair
Aye. Motion passes. Senate Bill 25 moves to the Ways and Means Committee. All right. Close the work session on Senate Bill 25, and we'll move to 27. Open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 27.
Senate Bill 27 requires Education Service District to prepare annual audit of books and accounts of the district, declares emergency effective July 1st, 2011.
Okay. Cindy Hunt in the department.
Chair Hass, members of the committee, Cindy Hunt, Oregon Department of Education. Senate Bill 27, in a nutshell, is our education service audit bill. The first thing I want to emphasize with this bill is that this bill does not interfere, conflict, change any of the other ESD reform efforts that are going on in the building or that have gone on in this committee. What this bill does is that currently ESDs and school districts are required under municipal audit law to prepare financial audits each year. And then under education law, school districts specifically are required to turn these audits into the Department of Education. ESDs, however, are not required to turn in their audits to us. This bill fixes that. The second thing that this bill does is that for school districts currently who do not turn in their audits to the Department of Education, we can withhold state school fund dollars from those school districts until they turn them in. With ESDs right now, we can't. Under this bill, we will be able to. The third thing is that for those audits that have deficiencies and are not corrected for a couple of years, right now for school districts, we can withhold up to 10% until those deficiencies are corrected. This bill adds ESDs to that. So in a nutshell, this bill, we feel, brings more accountability to the financial happenings of ESDs and brings ESDs in line with school districts. We don't believe that this bill will have an impact specifically on ESDs because they're already supposed to be doing annual financial audits, like I said, for the Secretary of State and under municipal audit law and that kind of thing. But it does make it so that they turn in their audits to us and gives us some ability to enforce that. With that, any questions?
So you see these reports instead of them going over your head to the Secretary of State's office now?
Chair Haas, actually the audit for the school districts is turned into both the Secretary of State and us because we have different responsibilities. With us, they're turned into us because we manage the state school fund. And so if we see an issue, we're giving these folks a lot of money. We want to be alerted to it. To give you an example, where this bill came up is with Willamette ESD. We started looking at our statutes and our authority, and we saw this as a whole. If this had been in place a couple of years ago, that's an example of where we would have withheld money, the 10%, because of the audit deficiencies until they were corrected.
Well, I know that you characterize it as a housekeeping, but I see it more than that because mm-hmm. I remember talking to you and some mm-hmm. of the other people in the department during the WESD scandal, and we talked about going in and shutting them down the way insolvent banks are shut down by the federal government, and I remember learning to my surprise that there's really nothing we can do, even in the most egregious of these kinds of situations.
Chair Haas, you're correct. We're hoping that for most ESDs, this is housekeeping, to be honest, because many of these ESDs are already turning in their audits to us. And so in that way, it's housekeeping in that, it's codifying current practice for most.
Mm-hmm.
But for those cases when we need it, it will be there.
Questions? Senator Morse?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would it be Union Baker, the one that got in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Had they been submitting reports, their audit reports, to ODE?
Chair Haas, Senator Morse, I am not sure. Let me get back to you with that. That one was about 4 or 5 years ago when they were really in trouble with us. And then there was a special audit that was requested and done of them. So let me get back to you with that history.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else like to testify on SB 27? I close the hearing on Senate Bill 27 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 27.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 27 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morse moves Senate Bill 27 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, the measure passes. Senate Bill 27 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We're back down to this end. Senator Bonamici, if you would be so kind to carry this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Close the work session with Senate Bill 27. And on that same, well, let's go to Senate Bill 290. I'm going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 290. Just for a refresher, if you could give us a summary. We've gone
Certainly.
Through this.
Senate Bill 290 directs the State Board of Education in consultation with Teachers Standards and Practices Commission to adopt core teaching standards to assist school districts in determining the effectiveness of teachers and administrators. There has been an amendment to this. We adopted the Dash 1 amendment on March 8th, and that amendment adds the concept of improving teacher practices and professional development in order to improve student growth and learning outcomes.
We adopted the amendment. We balked at sending it to the floor because it had a $50,000 fiscal impact. And in meeting with the Senate President's office, they said, send it to the floor anyway, and the Senate President will use his discretion as to whether or not to refer it to Ways and Means. So, unless there's anyone to speak to this, or unless the committee needs anyone to explain anything further, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 290 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 290.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 290 as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation.
Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 290 as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none. Senate Bill 290 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George?
And carry the bill. Close the work session on Senate Bill 290. And I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 959 for purposes of moving it to the Rules Committee. Senator Morris?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 959 without recommendation to the Rules Committee.
Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 959 without recommendation to the Rules Committee. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. Senate Bill 959 is moved to the Rules Committee. My goodness.
Are we done?
I think we're out of business here. Productive day. Thank you all. We are adjourned.